This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Have you ever dreamt of exploring Africa beyond the typical safari? In today's episode, we chat with Lynette Nakamanya, an experienced African travel operator who has spent over a decade crafting unforgettable journeys through East and South Africa. From the hidden culinary gems of Uganda to the wellness retreats nestled in lush forests, Lynette shares how she's redefining travel in Africa, especially for solo female travelers with Girls Travel Africa. Stick around to discover what it means to truly immerse yourself in the heart of Africa.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Lynette Nakamanya, who's an experienced African tour travel operator who's dedicated her career to creating unforgettable travel experiences across East and South Africa. So we're going to dive into how she customizes these journeys, how she's able to revolutionize the travels of those under her tour operations. And she even has a really cool company called Girls Travel Africa that's really all about the solo female traveler experience through Africa. So, Lynette, welcome to the show.
Thank you, DeAndre. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here to share more about travel in Africa, to share tips, ideas, and guidance on how more people can travel within and around Africa and enjoy their experience while doing it.
Absolutely, Lynette. So super happy to have you on the show. We want to start off with the question we'd like to ask everyone. Where in the world are you currently and where are you from?
Thank you. I'm from East Africa, Uganda. That's where I'm currently from and that's where I'm currently situated as we speak. Yes. So I have been in the tourism industry for the last 10 years and I do trips within Uganda, within Kenya, within Tanzania, Rwanda, Congo, and I do Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Botswana, the Victoria Falls region. So those are the core areas that I specialize in my travels.
And what's the name of your parent company? Because I know you've got Girls Travel Africa, which really focuses on the female travel experience. But what is the principal company? Because I know that is one that is for all genders, right? So and can you tell us a little bit more about what the objective is? What are the types of trips that you guys usually do? Where do you go? What's the experience that you're looking to deliver, whether it's with your parent company or the Girls Travel Africa?
We look to deliver, first of all, an unforgettable experience for all our clients. So our parent company is called Tugende Afrique, which in Bantu means let's go, Africa. And the products we provide are customized trips. We do group trips. We organize group trips for different groups, different influencers. And then we also do family trips, so customized trips, group trips, even solo trips. And then also in the company, we provide technical guidance and consultancy services for people who want to travel within Africa. Recently, we realized there's a number of people who want to travel without agents or without operators. They just want someone who can give them a guidebook and advice and tips and ideas and contact lists. And they do their trip on their own. So we also do that through our company. That's Tugende Afrique. And then with Girls Travels Africa, the community was founded with a purpose of increasing Black, mainly women's travels within Africa. You know, it could be Black women, it could be women of all different races, but basically increasing the number of women traveling within Africa because of how people perceive Africa, the levels of insecurity that people feel, you know, they are. You know, this community, first of all, brings together women, shares with them tips on what do they need to do to travel within Africa, what do they need to know to travel within Africa. And then you also provide wellness packages within this community where we want women to come to Africa to connect with the people, with the culture, with the lifestyle, and rejuvenate themselves so that they go back home feeling so much better and so much more empowered. And then we do this with women guides. So we invite the women to come into Africa, promising them a secure environment, promising them an amazing experience, but working with female guides. So if you're going for a safari, you're not worried of the person who is driving you in a car because it's a fellow woman, you know. So it really gives a very harmonious experience while also catering to the wellness aspect of the client, but then also helping them immerse themselves with the culture, with the lifestyles of the communities they're visiting while they're here.
And I love that you mentioned that you do this specifically, one, for wellness, but also because of the connotation, I think, that Africa can have around safety and other things. And so going back to what you actually mentioned about regarding those individuals that don't want to be on a tour, they want more so a guidebook and kind of be told where to go. Can you talk through how safe is that, right? Is it very easy to just kind of navigate yourself around Africa? I think a lot of people would assume maybe not, but you know, you guys offer a service that allows people to go explore kind of on their own. I'm sure there's plenty of places you can and cannot go, but can you talk through what that experience would actually feel like for someone that's on the ground? And as someone who lives there and is in the country, you know, your whole life, how does that safety aspect feel?
Just to give a disclaimer, every country around Africa is totally different. You know, the safety precautions you'll consider in Uganda are different from what you'd consider in Kenya, in Tanzania, in Rwanda, in Congo, in Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Botswana. Like, the countries could be next to each other, they could be lumped up, but the safety precautions vary in every country. So usually what we do with clients who want to do trips on their own, we give a consultancy service, you know, where they pay online for the service, and then we just give them all the guidance they need. Sometimes we'll hook them up with an initial guide who will take them at least for the first 2-3 days. Even if you know how to drive, maybe on the, you know how to keep left or keep right in terms of driving and you want to hire your own car, we always advise you, if you're coming into Africa, to at least have a guide for 1 or 2 days to familiarize yourself with the terrain, the landscape of how things get done, you know, because we don't have very clear infrastructure that you get to the airport and maybe there's a bus stop or there's a train station. We don't have that yet in all the countries I have worked in. And where it is, it's not very direct. Even where we have the standard gauge railways and whatnot, you still need a bit of support, at least the first 2 days, to navigate and get your ground before you go on your own. And also what we also provide is we provide a constant person on standby to support in any way, in any part of the country where you are. So in case you're in Uganda and you're on your own, you're on a solo trip, in case you get any challenge, you have a number you can dial of one of our people who will be there to support and be like, okay, what challenge do you have? How can we help? You know, so even if you're on your own on a solo trip, at least, you know, you have someone from Tugende Afrique who, in case of anything, in case you need any support, in case you find yourself stuck, you know, you have someone you can call to support.
Very cool. So you guys have a whole network of kind of safety, communication, and I love the fact that you said even if you're used to driving wherever you're from, you want someone to be able to get accustomed to the landscape and the terrain when they get there, which is why you still connect them with a guide initially for a couple of days, which is pretty awesome. So Lynette, let me ask you this. What are some of those must-see attractions and destinations that are in your part of Africa that you service that you think the listeners really should know about? And then not just the ones that are popular on Instagram and social media, but some of the lesser known ones as well that you think are just absolutely beautiful.
like I said, every country is different. Like if someone is interested in culture, countries like Uganda would be great for culture. If someone is interested in culture and culinary experiences, Uganda would be the best because it's the food basket of the whole of Africa, you know? That variety of foods you find in Uganda, you'll not find in any other African country, you know? And this is something I have literally proven moving in all these countries. So for someone who wants culinary rich experiences and cultural immersions and infusions, Uganda would be one of the hotspots for that. It's a very rich product that I feel has not been highly promoted or marketed. You know, and for someone who are people who would like to do safaris, definitely the safaris will be best in Tanzania. The Tanzanian safaris are the best I have seen around the region. You know, then someone who is into adventure, you know, bungee jumping, helicopter rides, being on top of the falls, then Victoria Falls region of Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, walking with the lions, you know, doing a crocodile swim, all these different adrenaline rushing activities are done mainly around the Victoria Falls region. Even though other countries also have bits and pieces of that, but I feel the capital of adventure is the Victoria Falls region of Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana. But then also, I feel the hidden gems within these countries. Now, if someone is looking to do wellness, you know, wellness immersion, this will be in southwestern parts of Uganda, you know, where they could go to Lake Bunyonyi, one of the most beautiful places we have in Africa. You know, the place is very tropical, the forests are very thick, and so they would do a lot of wellness experiences. There are a lot of yoga, you can do cycling, you know, so depending on the kind of activities you want, if you want to have experience with the Maasai, then you could do that in Kenya or Tanzania because they both have the Maasai. If you want to experience the great migration of the wildebeest, you know, which are the wildlife that just cross thousands of miles because they run through Kenya to Tanzania, like throughout the year, that would be an experience to have, which most people don't know about. Then the white sands of Zanzibar, you know, it's very, very beautiful, that side of Tanzania and the coasts of Mombasa. So all these small experiences can be merged up to create an amazing package for the different clients.
Very nice. So, I mean, you covered everything from lush jungles to white sand beaches to the people that are foodies. And I think that's really cool because a lot of people probably wouldn't put Africa high on their radar as a food stop. But if there are the foodies out there that love to travel, and I'd say that I am becoming one, and my fiance Taryn definitely is one, knowing that there is a stop, there's a location that we can go to and really have an amazing immersive food experience, which is not what people think about when they think about Africa, right? They're thinking about the wildlife, they're thinking about the safaris, all those different things. But to know that there's a balance and there's a whole ecosystem and variety, whether you want the tropical beaches, the wellness retreat, or the hike through the jungle, is really cool. So switching gears and talking about the safari side, because I think it's important to talk about that as that's a big thing that people think about when it comes to Africa. I know there's different types of safaris, right? There's nature preserves. I think there's ones that are focused on conservancy. And can you talk more about the different safaris that are there? What are the ones that you want to look for to go to? Maybe what are some of the ones that you want to try to avoid?
So there are also some other two products I didn't mention when I was mentioning the products. There is the mountaineering, where we have mountains, beautiful mountains. We have Mount Kilimanjaro, and then we have some mountains like Mount Rwenzori. So also people who like doing mountaineering, these are really hot spots. And then also we have the mountain gorillas, where we have each other in the family of primates. So people want to see the chimpanzees, the gorillas, there's also a lot of that. So the types of safaris that are there, some people can have the primate safaris, where they go gorilla tracking and chimpanzee tracking. So people who are interested into the primates, you know, they go for these kinds of safaris. There's what they call the golden monkeys, which can also be seen. And then people get a chance to interact with them and see how they live their lives, the ones that have been habituated. It's a very interesting experience because you go close to them, you see them in their family, in their groups, you know, in their natural habitat, which I think is a very beautiful experience. For different people, I think it's something that most clients really find as a life-changing experience. Then we have the wildlife safaris, which include, of course, seeing the lions, the elephants, the antelopes, the giraffes. You can have the wildlife safaris across in all these countries, in Uganda, in Kenya, in Tanzania, in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, in Botswana. They all have wildlife safaris. There are no safaris that I would say these are no go-to. These ones are go-to safaris, but every country's safaris are a bit different. So if you went for a safari in Uganda, the experience would be different from if you went for a safari in Zimbabwe or in Zambia. Like, because in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana, they have like the variety of wildlife changes and even the population changes. Like now we know that Botswana has the biggest population of elephants in the world as a country alone. So the herds and herds of elephants you find there might not be the ones you see if you're in Uganda. But then we also know that Tanzania in Tarangire, I think it's also the third biggest area with the biggest populations of elephants. So you'll also get to see lots of wildlife there. You know, so depending on the wildlife that you want to see and the experience you want to have, different countries provide a variety of experiences, but they're all unique in their own ways. Simple example, like in Uganda, you'll have a safari, but you will not have a lot of crowding in terms of vehicles. You would go in the park and you see your wildlife, but you'll not see more than 10, 15 cars. While in Tanzania, there'll be close to 300 cars in the park. You know, so there are differences in how the product is presented and later consumed by the clients. So some of them are small differences here and there. Some are big, you know, even in terms of costs. A safari in Uganda will cost totally different from a safari in the other countries. So all those are things to consider when someone is planning their trip to Africa.
So a wide variety of options, locations, what you're going to see, obviously, and it's going to vary from country to country. I don't know about everyone else, but I think I would prefer to be on that safari experience with just maybe, like you said, 10 to 15 cars versus 300, right? I think that's going to make for a very different experience. My question for you, Lynette, is being there, being a tour operator, I know you're going to cater your trips and experiences to what the client wants, but I'm super curious, where is your favorite place for either safari, location? What are your favorites? Is it Uganda? Because I know that's where you're from. Is that biased there or is it somewhere else? So I'm really curious, where's your favorite place to go? If I were to say, Lynette, you pick for me your favorite place, that's where we're going next week, where's it going to be?
It wouldn't actually be biased. It would be a fact-driven decision. One thing which I feel has been underrated or hardly talked about is the weather in Uganda. It's so funny that you'll be in Uganda, like I was saying, throughout the year, you wouldn't need AC at any one given time in this country because it's never too hot, too cold, never throughout the year. And then you go to Kenya and in Nairobi, it is crazy freezing. And then I'll go to Tanzania in Arusha and sometimes it's crazy freezing. All the times when the first times I traveled from, I would leave Uganda, maybe go for a meeting. And then I would be like, oh my God, it's so cold here. What is happening? And it's because of the seasons. And then I do a lot of work in the Victoria Falls region, that's Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana. And then the weather conditions there are so different that in Uganda, it rains every other day throughout the year. But in Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, they have a very hard dry season that it can stop raining in April and it won't rain for a single day until October. Not a single day. And I was there in September last year and I kept getting bruises on my body. That might be extreme. But I wondered, I was like, what is happening? And my face was just peeling off. And these are small, small things because this is just the weather. It's too hot. It's hot. You know, the whole place is brown. You know, the safaris could be different, but in Uganda, you're going to always have a safari that is green. Even during our dry season, you're going to see green around the country. While in other parts of Africa, some parts, if it's dry season, it's dry. So definitely my best place, because I love green, I love the forests, it would be Chivale National Park, which is in Uganda. And also because of the variety of foods, having traveled through all these countries and worked there, the variety of food we have here in Uganda is unspoken about. You know, Uganda is the only country I have been to Like when you're having a buffet, you have like maybe four types of carbohydrates, like three types of protein, like four, five, six types of sauce. In other countries, it's either rice or ugali. Ugali, which is like posho, like a white clump of cassava flour. I don't know if you've come across it. You know, it's either like a bit of greens, that clump of cassava, and maybe beans or a piece of chicken or something, you know. It is one, two, three options. While in Uganda, there is what actually we call, there's something we say when you're going in restaurants, even ordinary restaurants on a normal day, where we say maybe give me chicken, all food. So when we say all food, we're saying maybe rice, sweet potato, Irish potato, cassava, pumpkin, yam, a bit of chapati, all of these things on one person's plate in one meal. And that is a cheap meal. That's like a meal which costs like a dollar. So when you look at the variety of foods and the freshness and the fact that our foods are fresh throughout the year, you know, that's also something that is underrated. You know, I've gone to countries where they say the season of maybe this particular fruit is only once a year or 2 months in a year. While in Uganda, you find all our markets are stocked with fresh fruits and vegetables throughout the year. You know, whether you come in the middle of a dry season or a rainy season, I mean, all seasons almost look the same. So it's a beautiful place that is underrated, I feel.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. Awesome, Lynette. Thank you for giving that great depiction of Uganda, because quite honestly, a lot of those things that you said, I had not heard before. And so I do feel like you're right. It is highly underrated, and likely, I think more comments like that and more people getting to experience a country like Uganda is going to allow you guys to continue to grow, and the world should be able to see what it is that you're talking about and what you've lived and experienced firsthand. Now, from a travel standpoint, when it comes to your tours and your trips, or even maybe timing-wise, how can travelers immerse themselves in the cultural aspect? Is there a time, whether it's festivals or a season, where it's better from a cultural standpoint to, you know, everyone wants to go and they want to see the animals and the wildlife, of course, but how do you and where can you get more into the cultural immersion aspect of this part of Africa?
I feel in Uganda, because Uganda is one of the few countries in Africa which still has kingdoms, where we still have kings reigning. So, and in these kingdoms, you have tourism boards for the kingdoms. And they have developed culture villages where you can go and experience the culture lifestyle and immerse yourself in the culture. And I believe culture immersion is a very powerful way of travel, because it gives you a chance to firsthand understand why the people in that particular country do the things they do. You know, if you go to Arusha and you go to the Maasai Community Museum or the Maasai Homestead in Arusha, it's a beautiful place. You dress up like a Maasai. They explain to you how the Maasai lived, why they lived the way they lived, the manyatas, the different houses they built. And you can have that experience in Arusha, in Tanzania. Even in Kenya, there is that experience for the Maasai. Then also in Tanzania, there's the experience of the Bushmen, which also is quite unique. People who are still living like hunting and gatherers, or you can still experience that. As I was saying, in Uganda, we also have so many tribes. So I feel Uganda has a variety of cultural immersions in one spot. Because while other countries, you might only experience one tribe, here you'll come and experience the Baganda, who are living in the central region. And then you can experience the Ankole, who are the cattle keepers, and they show you how they make ghee, or what you'd call cheese, how they look after their livestock and why they do what they do. And then they show you how they make their food, the preparation process, and the cultural values that were embedded in the preparation processes. Because every tribe prepared its food in a different way. And there were always meanings behind why they prepared the food in that way, why they dressed up in a particular way, why women did this, why men did this. When visitors came to your home, what happened? What herbs would you grow? What foods would you not grow? All that cultural immersion is really preserved at the culture villages. And also something which makes Uganda stand out so much in terms of culture is because of these kingdoms, they even have culture sites. So you have a kingdom like Buganda Kingdom having over 7 sites where you go, maybe the king's palace, the king's parliament, the king's tombs where the kings are buried. Very beautiful place, actually, a UNESCO site, which is Kasubi Tombs. It's a World Heritage Site because it has a lot of history, living history. So all these places can give a client a very rich experience of the culture in the country.
Very nice, Lynette. Well, before we start to wrap up here a little bit, I wanted to go back and touch back on the Girls Travel Africa side of the business. You mentioned it a little bit. You focus on women of all color. I know primarily Black women. You said women of all color and getting to experience both wellness, growth, and then experiencing Africa with a female guide as well. Can you just talk through some of the experiences of what some of those trips look like? So for our listeners that are like, you know what, that sounds like a really incredible opportunity. What are those trips like? Is it safaris? Is it trekking? Like, what are you guys doing on these trips? Or what are you ladies doing on these trips, I should say? And how do you incorporate the wellness piece into it as well?
Yes. So every trip is customized on the client's interests. So most of these wellness trips, if the clients are really interested in safari, we embed a bit of safari. But the thing which makes this trip more unique from other ordinary trips is because we embed the aspects of wellness. So here we shall encourage journaling, we shall encourage yoga for those who would like yoga. And wellness is different for every person. For someone else, wellness might be just sitting at a beautiful resort in the forest, you know, with a nice view and relaxing, you know, and meditating and journaling. For those who love yoga, we always have yoga instructors on ground. You know, so we usually embed wellness with a bit of culture. And if they would like safari, we throw in a bit of safari because it doesn't make sense for someone to leave the US or the UK and they're coming into Africa and not experience a safari. Most of them, one of the things they mainly know about Africa is safari. You know, so you can have 1 or 2 days of safari and then you have 3 days of wellness and maybe 1 or 2 more days of cultural immersions and embedding themselves in the culture, having a slow-paced culture and community engagement experience, whereby it's not so fast-paced because most of the safaris we have seen, you know, someone touches down from the airport, they go straight for a shopping experience, they go straight to the hotel, then they're having a welcome dinner, then they have a 5-day safari, then, you know, it's back-to-back. And by the time the safari is done, clients are exhausted, you know. So we don't want that for our clients. We want, if someone has come for a wellness experience, it should be a relaxing experience, an enriching experience. If they want to immerse themselves with the cultures, to know how people go shopping in the markets, you know, get to see how, go for cooking classes. It could be all these different things, but because it's customized, it will not be everything. It will be what the client really is looking out for. If they want to have a cooking class and they want to have a cultural day, you know, or stay at a culture village, because some culture villages actually provide accommodation. So you have a cultural experience accommodation, or you want to do purely yoga at a beautiful resort in southwestern Uganda, we can do that. If you want to do it in the Victoria Falls region, where you want to mix a bit of adventure and wellness. So we have some days of you going helicopter riding, and then you do a bit of evening yoga or morning yoga, then you do the sunset train along River Zambezi, then you do the sunset boat cruise. So we mix the safari with wellness. So it's not so jam-packed of activity after activity after activity. There's a lot of interaction. And if it's a group, we also even encourage sitting down as a group and you share your experiences, you share ideas, you get to bond as a community. And we even give out journals for the groups that do a lot of journaling. We give out journals that are guided. And we'd say this morning session will be for journaling. So clients will wake up in the morning, have their breakfast, sit on the porch, and journal in the wild. So there are different aspects of wellness, and we just craft it and customize it to the interests of the group or the couple or the family that we're handling at the time.
awesome, Lynette. I think that is incredible. I love the fact that you mentioned that you guys really focus on the overall experience and not trying to cram too much in at a time, because a lot of times you hear people go on a vacation and they come back and they need a vacation from their vacation because they did so much on vacation. And so being balanced is really, really critical, I think, to having an incredible experience, and you guys are curating that. So before we wrap up here, Lynette, any tips or advice you would give to travelers that are wanting to visit Africa, whether it's a solo female, whether it's a family, just in general, what are some of your top tips, or ideas, or thoughts for anyone thinking about coming to visit Africa?
I'd like to advise planning to visit Africa to do a bit of research. Africa has so much to offer, so much. Every country, like I said, is totally unique. So if you give yourself a chance and research on every country and what they have to offer, it will help you narrow down to your set desires. You know, if you can get a consultant, an agent who you can consult, and they give you the best advice, I think it would also be important, because you don't want to come to Africa and then leave Africa, and 1 month after you have left, or a week, you see another country having something, you're like, oh, I would have wanted that. I would have wanted the other. Because not everything that we have has been highly marketed out there. That's why when I was talking about what Uganda has, the weather, the food, all these things, you're like, oh, I've not heard about these things. And very many people have not. Very many people. Because I remember last year, I was talking to some travel enthusiasts who are also in the US, and they are leaders of communities. And the gentleman literally looked at me and was asking me, are there 3-star hotels in your country? You know, and he was so concerned. And I was like, what? I was shocked. And I was like, yes, they're there. They're even 5-star, they're 4-star. Like, we have all these stars of hotels that provide high quality service. But because people don't know what we have to offer, it scares them a bit. And unlike other countries in Europe, where they have really done a lot of marketing over the years, and information is readily available, it's not the case this side. I would encourage people to do a lot of research so that they can get exactly what they are looking for, because it's there. And there is even more, so much more. But then also to, as they're doing the research, of course, they will learn the culture differences in the different countries. I usually encourage my groups where we have people of color that the way they treat a white person is not the same way they will treat a person of color traveling within Africa or as a tourist. It sounds, sometimes my clients don't like it so much when I say it, but it's the fact that when they see someone who looks like me, if I'm a tourist, like if I'm moving around maybe in the capital city and I'm wearing short shorts, I could easily get harassed than if it was a white person wearing the same short shorts. Because they would see the white person like color and they'll say, oh, this is a tourist, you know, and they'll let them be. But if they see someone of color, they would think you're a native, you know, because we have the same color, you know. So such small things, like if it's ladies, of course, if you're on a safari and maybe at your resort, you can dress up the way you want. But if you're going in the middle of town, in the middle of the city, maybe, and you're going to the market, just wrapping up a bit would be important. Even in very touristic areas like Zanzibar. Like I remember I was in Zanzibar October last year, and I was with some friends, and we're all travel agents, and she kept getting harassed. And she's from Kenya, I'm from Uganda. So we had gone to visit some of the properties we usually work with. And she kept saying, when I come to Stone Town, Stone Town is like the town of Zanzibar, like the capital of Zanzibar. Like these, the locals see her as someone of color. They think she's a native as well. So she was wearing short shorts, and they kept, you know, throwing all these lines, which they wouldn't do to a white person, because they would think you're a tourist, but they don't look at her and think she's a tourist. You know, so such small things like are important to note. But then also I think getting a guide the first 1-2 days of your trip is also quite important. Even though you're a solo traveler, at least having a contact of someone in the country, so that in case of anything, you have someone to call. Unlike other countries where you can just land at the airport, figure out your way, here it might be good, at least for the start, to get someone to work with, even if it's just for 1 day, you know, and then go on your own when at least you have gotten someone to give you a bit of the introduction of the country. I think it's important in every country around the region.
So, Lynette, I know that you're a tour operator yourself, and we're going to grab all of the links and all the places for people to follow you. We're going to grab that in just a second. But just want to ask you kind of more directly, can people reach out and specifically work with you on booking tours or travel? Do they need to reach out to your parent company? How does that work?
So I'm very active on my social media. Clients could send an email through. The email will be shared. Or if they can just check out my Instagram, if they can just inbox in case of any inquiries. So for a very quick response, I think just sending an email through to my email for in case of any questions, sending that email, then I can always just direct them to the particular staff who will be handling them in case they need to have a booking or book a consultancy session or whatnot. And on our page for Girls Travels Africa, there is already a booking system where a client can just send an email and reschedule a consultancy call for them. So that's also really makes things easy. But sending through an email quickly can have them responded to in less than 2 hours, depending on the time differences as well.
Perfect, Lynette. And so we'll go ahead and make sure that we've got your website up there, your social media handles as well. And anything else that you want to plug before we wrap up here, or any final thoughts you have before we go?
I'd like to encourage people to explore the idea of traveling within and around Africa. I know there's so many blockades that stop people from traveling within Africa. The price of tickets, you know, the lack of information. But once it's all planned out carefully, traveling within Africa is one of the best experiences I have had for myself, because in every country you go, you learn a lot about the culture, the lifestyle, the experience, you know. And you know, the more you travel, then mainly if it's people of color, well, the more they come into Africa, travel within Africa, see how Africans do the different things they do, it can even spark their thoughts of creativity, business investments and planning. So I think Africa is a very virgin continent. And I feel once traveled around Africa, the learning opportunities and even just growth opportunities are immense and cannot be exhausted. And I'm sure there's something for everyone within Africa. It could be wellness, it could be culture, it could be wildlife, it could be a business trip even. You can plan a business trip in Africa. There is something for everyone.
Perfect, Lynette. Well, last question for you here. Are there any other content creators or any other individuals that you think we should have on this show? Maybe they're focused on Africa, African travels, or anywhere else in the world. Who else should we have on this show in the future?
I have a project I'm working on with a lady called Angelica. I think you, I don't know if you might know a lady called Angelica. She's from Black Travel Go. So we're doing some project in Uganda with her, her company. You know, so if you've not had her on the show, I think you should have her on the show if you have not yet. Yeah, and she has a company she's working with called Just Give Art, where they do travel, but they embed it with a bit of charity work. So they travel to experience Africa, but then they're also now embedding it with a bit of charity work. Yeah, so I think having her on the show would be great in case you have not had her yet.
Perfect, Lynette. Well, thank you so much. We will reach out to her and see if we can get her on the show in a future episode. I want to thank you today so much for your insights on travel in Africa, Uganda specifically, and the different experiences that you have been able to curate for individuals, but also not just that, what people can know to experience in different parts of Africa, whether it's Uganda, Tanzania, Zanzibar, the Victoria Falls region, all of those different things. I think it's really cool for people to go and do their own research, see where they want to go, what type of experience they're looking for, and ultimately they know if they, once they figure all those things out, they can reach out to you to help them fulfill those things, or they can just reach out to you to get an idea of what they want to do in general. So thank you again so much for today.
Thank you too. Thank you for having me. Thank you for making the time. And I look forward to having you in Africa. I don't know when you're planning your next trip, but we should definitely book that call where we can talk more about what your interests would look like around Africa.
Absolutely. Africa is on the list to get to. We're trying to figure out where specifically we want to go. And so we know we've got an expert we can reach out in order to help us do that. So again, Lynette, huge thank you for you sharing your expertise today with not just myself, but the listeners as well. And for the listeners out there, you know, whether you're looking to embark on a solo adventure, plan a group trip, or experience the beauty of Africa in form of wellness travel, Lynette and her team, they've got you covered. As always, thanks for listening. Give us a like, tell your friends, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Have a good one, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.